Dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our message for today comes to us from our gospel reading from the Gospel of Luke, the 3rd and 4th chapters, especially these words. The heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And this is our text. Well, at our house, where we live, like so many of yours, we have a lot of things that are hanging on the wall of our house. We have a lot of different things up there. We have pictures, and we have decorations, and we have artwork and shelves and all kinds of things up there. And I'm very fond of all of those things that we have hanging up on the wall. I like them. That's a good thing, you'd say. It's great that you like them because you bought them and you're the one who put them up there. But I like them for some very specific reasons. I like those things that are hanging on the wall at our house, not just because they're nice to look at, and I don't like them because there's something there that's particularly valuable or pricey or anything like that. You see, I like those things that are hanging on the wall at our house because when I look at them, they're reminders to me. They remind me of my family. Those things that are hanging on the wall of our house, they are things that tell a story. They tell a story about our family. They tell a story about the places that we have been and where we have come from. Things that are on the wall of our house, they tell us a story of some of our favorite hobbies and some of the things that we love to do. They tell a story of the places that we have lived. And the places that we have been, the places that we have visited. When I look at this one, I see the buffalo, and it reminds me of my wife and I meeting at Custer State Park over 25 years ago. When I look at those things hanging on the walls, I see pictures there of family and friends, and I remember them. Some of those family and friends are still with us, and some of those family and friends have gone to be with Jesus. I love those things that are hanging up on the wall of our house. Except for there's one thing. There's one thing that hangs on the wall of our house. And there's one thing that I have to say I'm really not all that fond of. I don't really care for it all that much. And it's something, I didn't hang it up there myself. It's something that came with the house. It was a feature that came with the house. It hangs in the bathroom. The mirror. Now, I got to tell you, the mirror and I, we have a little bit of kind of an uneasy relationship. Because even on the best of days, when I look in the mirror, I can maybe tolerate what it is that I'm seeing when I look in the mirror. But on the worst of days, when I look in that mirror, I have to tell you, I get sometimes very frustrated. Sometimes I get a little bit irritated. Because when I look in that mirror, what I see looking back at me, it isn't what I remember. You know, I can remember once upon a time looking in that mirror and I would see a young guy with a full head full of hair. And now somehow in some way that hairline of mine, it's been a coward. It's been retreating from the front to the back of my head. And when I look in that mirror, I look back and I see that guy looking back at me, and I see someone who used to have a nice dark beard, but now there's a lot of gray in that beard. I look in those eyes and I see eyes that used to be very youthful, but now there's wrinkles and those eyes aren't quite as sharp as they used to be. I see the extra pounds that I've packed on all around my chin. I don't like the story of what I'm seeing in that mirror, what it has to tell me. Where did it all come from? Where has it all gone? But also beyond the superficial stuff, when I look in that mirror and I see who's looking back at me in that mirror, I sometimes get irritated and frustrated because when I look in those eyes, I see that there are stories that are known just to me. Stories of mistakes. They're stories of shame. Regret. Stories of disappointment. When I look in that mirror, I see someone who struggles to be everything that he should be and to do all the things that he is supposed to do. Because when I look in that mirror, I look in there and I see looking back at me a husband and a father and a son and a brother and a friend. I'm a member of a family. I have my family, I have my in-laws, I have my church family. And I think about all of these families that I'm a part of, and I love these people, and they love me back. And I think about myself as a husband and a father and all of those things, and I say, wow, my family is awesome. They are great. They deserve 100% of my time, 100% of my attention, and 100% of my energy. And as I look in that mirror, I also see someone else. I see someone who has a job, someone who has a specific calling. I'm called to be a pastor and to serve the church, the church of South Dakota, all of the churches in this state. And as I travel around and as I go from place to place, I meet so many incredible Christians. So many people who love the Lord so much and give so much of themselves to serve their churches. So many people who love their communities and their neighborhoods, and they do so much for them as well. And when I see them, they inspire me. And I look at them and I say, wow, these people, they deserve 100% of my time and 100% of my energy and my attention. And now, if you're good at math, and if you've been following along with this and paying attention, you realize really quickly we've got a problem. 100% plus 100% equals 200. And contrary to what any of the high school coaches might have told you, no one can give more than 100%. Nobody can give 110%, let alone 200%. So what do I do? How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? That feeling of not being able to be everything and to do everything that you know you should. Well, so many times what we do is we find ourselves spreading ourselves thin. You know, maybe we find ourselves devoting our time and energy and attention to this area over here. Or we find ourselves focusing on this area over there. So often we feel like we're maybe shortchanging one or the other, or both of them. And it all leads me to that place, it leads us to that place where we have to agree with Paul, St. Paul in Romans chapter 7, as he's wrestling with the same thing, thinking about the stuff that he should do and the things that he hasn't done. And we just got to cry out, oh, wretched man that I am, who is going to save me and who is going to deliver me from this mess that I'm in? And that brings me back to the stuff that's hanging on the wall of my house. Because among all those things that are hanging on the walls of my house, there is one thing there that I absolutely love. And this is something that is completely different from all of those other things, because frankly, this is something that says nothing about me or what it is that I have done, but it is the cross. The cross tells a story of our God and who he is and what it is that he has done. Because when I look at that cross, there I see Jesus, and there I see that perfect 200% man. the one who is 100% perfect human being, the one who came to this world, and the one who in his humanity completely and totally embraced the plan of God, the path that was in front of him. That's what's happening in our gospel reading when we hear about Jesus' baptism today. When we hear about that baptism, this is Jesus' yes to that path that is ahead. Jesus comes to this world, and in his baptism, he is embracing that plan and that will of God for him, living in that obedience to what God has given him. He comes to this world to embrace all of humanity and all of this world in that perfect love of God. He comes to this world and he embraces this world in that perfect love of God, a world that is going to reject that love, and a world that is going to reject him. But he still does it for you and me. When I look to that cross there, I see that 100% perfect human being, that 100% perfect man who was tempted in every single way, just as you and I are. But the one who did not cave in, the one who didn't give in, he didn't gratify his own wishes and wants and desires. But he commended himself and all that he had, even his very life, into the hands of God, trusting God until the very end, even to the point of death on the cross. In Jesus, I see that perfect 100% man, the one and the only one who is worthy of all the praise and honor and the glory of God, the one in whom God the Father is indeed well pleased. But when I look to that cross, I also see in Jesus that 100% God, the one and the only one who is indeed worthy, the one and the only one who could, in fact, stand face to face and toe to toe with Satan in all of his temptations and all the tricks that Satan tries to use, the one and the only one who could stand face to face and toe to toe with Satan and rebuke him, the one and the only one who could defeat his power, the only one that could expose him for the liar and the fraud that Satan really is. When I look to that cross there, I see the one and the only one, the 100% true God, the only one who could stand face to face and toe to toe with your sins and mine and take them away, forgive them. And in that cross, I see the 100% true God, the only one who could stand face to face and toe to toe with death and the grave, and in his Easter morning resurrection, overcome death and the grave with his eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, through him alone, can we see that perfect 200% man. Only through his worthiness, and only in him and only through him, can you and I look in the mirror and see ourselves for who we really are. Yes, the sinners that we are, the ones who come up short, the ones who fail, the ones who make mistakes, the ones who cannot be everything and do everything that we want to be. But we can also look in that mirror and we can see something else. We can see ones who are dearly loved by God. We can see ourselves as ones who are so precious to our Father in heaven that he spared nothing, but he gave his Son for you and me. We see the ones who are loved by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose blood on the cross has redeemed us and set us free from Satan's power, from sin and its condemnation, and from the fear of death. And the one who has given us this incredible gift, to take this gift that he has given us this victory in life and forgiveness, and to go out into our work and our families and our friendships, all of our relationships, into our neighborhoods, and to share this good news of a God whose love is so great, so powerful, and so deep and wide. Amen. Now may that love and that peace of God that surpasses all of our understanding, may this guard and keep our hearts and our minds in faith to Christ our Lord, to life everlasting.